Welcome to the podcast, Your Time with James Sweetman. Each week, my guests and I share stories, challenges, and vulnerabilities, all with the aim of helping us to live in a more soulful, authentic, and integrated way. So thank you for tuning in. Let's jump into this week's episode. We all know the adage, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. Yeah, we know what it means. When we experience something unexpected, unpleasant, and unwelcome, we try to make the most of it, to see the silver lining in the clouds, to take the life lesson from it, as it were. Well, that's the theory. But in reality, sometimes life just sucks. It can feel like a punch in the stomach. And at those times, the last thing we want to hear is some trite aphorism. In recent years, I think I've had enough lemons thrown at me to start a lemon factory. So this week's episode was inspired by one such event, one that I'm actually currently living through, and I'll tell you about that shortly. But now that I've gotten a little perspective on it, in this week's episode, I'm going to share with you the ways I try to navigate the tough times. For me, this means being even more attentive to tending to my well-being, and most importantly, not adding to the high levels of stress through my own reactions and patterns, like being extra tough on myself or sliding into victimhood or unconsciously allowing my thinking to spiral and catastrophize. So what's been going on, I hear you ask? Well, as regular listeners will know, that back in January, I took a few weeks of a pause from the podcast, a time to rest and resource and to start planning a new series of episodes. Well, it didn't quite turn out that way. A few weeks ago, well, it's before Christmas now, we had noticed some dampness at the back of the house, and we thought maybe water was coming in through the back door or a window, maybe a faulty sealant or something. So we got it investigated. So experts came out in the early new year and did some exploration, and they dug up the floor. And they discovered that a pipe under the kitchen island, where the sink and the dishwasher drains away, had failed. And it possibly had failed shortly after the kitchen was installed, which is, what, 6.5 years ago. So just imagine everything that goes down the sink or out of a dishwasher over those years was going into the foundations of the house. So it was like a horror show. We were absolutely dumbfounded, disgusted, stressed. They were saying it could even be impacting on our health. And the upshot of it is that the back of the house really has to be taken asunder. The new kitchen has to be disassembled. The floors taken up. Industrial level cleaning take place. And we have to move out of the house for probably somewhere between 3 and 6 months. And to tell you that that has been a challenging and a stressful time is an understatement. Thankfully, both myself and Brian, you know, can support each other through it. But it was certainly something unexpected, unwelcome, unpleasant. Now, on the plus side, thankfully, we have insurance, we have options, and we've been able to secure some temporary accommodation, which is far more difficult than you think with the current property market. So we're fortunate that we've been able to get that sorted out. And whilst insurance can cover, you know, the practicalities of it, you know, what's never compensated, you know, what's much more difficult is the emotional turmoil and the stress. Now, I know in the bigger scheme of things, millions of people have far tougher lives and far bigger problems and daily challenges than I do. My life is blessed and I have many privileges. And thankfully, it's not a health-related issue. It's only property at the end of the day, as my mum would say. As we discussed here, myself and Brian, you know, our house has not been bombed. There's been no loss of life and we have options. But when you're forced to move from your home, it stirs up many things. For me, the trauma of this upheaval stirred up many dormant traumas or stuff I thought I dealt with. There have been many days over the last 2 months where I felt as low as I've ever felt. Thankfully, I had the awareness to reach out for help, so I reconnected with my counsellor and psychotherapist, Des. And let me tell you, I needed that support and assistance. In fact, with a few sessions behind me, I can see how some unhelpful internal dialogue and even lack of worthiness issues would not have surfaced for me. You know, they wouldn't have come into the light, as it were, without the trigger of the damage to the house. As I've said before, there are times for thriving and times for surviving. I've certainly felt I've been in survival mode for a while, and my goodness, that is tiring. In addition to our personal challenges, you know, the ones that few people know about, there's also the daily bombardment of the world's challenges. And for those of us who are sensitive souls and full of empathy, it can seem like we're tottering on the edge of emotional exhaustion all the time. When life pushes us or kicks us out of our comfort zones, we will feel self-conscious and fear will grip us. When we don't feel safe, our defences are on full alert. Contingency thinking can easily morph into obsessing over everything. What we can think is problem solving becomes incessant worrying, as weighty anxiousness will take up residency in the pit of our stomachs, a sensation I know only too well. And it is totally human to wade into victimhood, throw in some martyrdom for good measure, and wallow in the unfairness of it all. But as one of my go-to spiritual teachers, Byron Katie, always says, if you argue with reality, you will suffer. So what can we do when life hurtles lemons at us? Here's what I've messily discovered and clumsily tried to practice. The first thing I try to do is to reach for or rely on my foundations. Now, that's sort of an ironic use of the word foundation when I think about it, the foundations being what holds a house together. But it's about leaning on your core beliefs, what you hold to be true. It might be traditional faith. It might be beliefs or habits of thinking that you know serve you well. I try to reach for thoughts such as life is not happening to me, it's happening for me. There are certainly times when it doesn't feel that way. But I've had enough experiences to know that over a longer time scale, I found this to be true. Life challenges can bring us to our knees, and sometimes it takes that for us to utter a prayer, to ask for help. Another way I might phrase relying on our foundations is to do your thing. Purposefully do the things that make you feel buzzy or come alive. Only you know what that is for you. It might be sea swimming, walks in nature, exercising. It might be a spiritual practice, yoga, reading an uplifting book, getting creative, making a nice meal, meeting up with a supportive friend. Even in normal times when life is ticking over, these activities are the juice of life. In challenging times, we need that sweetness even more. If they are absent, we deprive ourselves of the pleasure of them, and this just adds to our struggles. So make them even more important, more of a priority when life feels like an uphill struggle. I've been doing even more walking than usual over the last few weeks. I think poor Sadie, our dog, has the legs walked off her. It helps clear my head, changes my breathing patterns. And it sort of tires me out too, which helps with a good night's sleep. Tip two is to get practical and offload what you can. When life gives you lemons, it's not business as usual. Adjustments have to be made, and this means reassessing priorities. Like most people, I've learned to tolerate a huge amount of stress and strain. I've developed resilience. Just like Rocky, I'll get to my feet just one more time after being knocked down. But the cumulative stress and strain that we endure can bring us to breaking point, to burnout, or to a breakdown, and we have to heed the early warning signals. Just because we can push through doesn't mean we should. And there are no rights and wrongs here. It's about listening to our bodies and asking ourselves, what do I need right now? For me, my weekly yoga class on a Tuesday night is a key part of my well-being routine. I just love it. Over the last few weeks, I've relied on it even more. It's a core part of my well-being routine. But there's been some Tuesdays where the thought of going to class was just too much. I simply needed to rest. And rest will always be a vital ingredient in how we resource ourselves when we're facing a challenge that will last a period of time. To create the space for rest, to allow us to focus on what's most important, we have to explore ways to lighten the load. What can we drop? What's no longer urgent? What can I say no to? What needs to be rescheduled? Sometimes we just can't keep going. The organizer in me And to help me get stuff out of my head, I opened a spreadsheet and I started to list everything we needed to do, especially around the service providers we needed to line up. And let me tell you, sometimes that feels like I'm playing three-dimensional chess. I also got clear as to what could be dropped. Some plans I had around changes to my website, a new client newsletter, and some product offerings. They've all been shelved because they require my full attention and a positive intention, and I wasn't able to give them that. Writing everything down always gives me perspective, and it eases tension as I'm not worried about forgetting anything. Yeah, I have it noted. Lightening the load works because it gives us space to breathe, to find a little wiggle room in the midst of the chaos, and we'll feel just a little more in control, a little more on top of things. Something else that will always stand to us when we're going through tough times is to ask for help. I was alert enough to know that my reaction to challenges with the house and the fact that we had to move out was stirring up stuff for me. So as I said, I reached out to Des, my counsellor, and embarked on a new series of sessions. As ever, this was so helpful because it gets me out of my head, and another professional will be able to see or help me acknowledge stuff I cannot see by myself. Sometimes we have to ask for help in a way that's very immediate and practical. I found that most people are helpful, and it often takes a challenge for me to step out of my comfort zone, park my pride and my precious self-reliance, and remember that I'm not alone in all of this. And as I've come to realise over the years, the weighty emotions of worry, stress and depression are lonely places. I know that when I'm challenged or when life is hard, I will turn within. I will implode rather than explode. I'll get down on myself and I will isolate myself, the complete opposite of what I know will do me the most good. Whilst a problem shared may not be a problem halved, it does help. If you've ever been on the receiving end of kindness from a friend who's looking out for you, you know what a difference it can make. We are often that person for others, and sometimes we have to allow others to be that person for us. When life gives us lemons, sometimes it's a reminder of the innate goodness in people. I mentioned earlier that Byron Katie quote, "When you argue with reality, you will suffer." So much stress comes from fighting what we cannot control, an uncertain future, other people's behaviour, a past we cannot change, and so on. It's not about resigning ourselves to a situation, but resourcing ourselves, having the strength to control what we can control. And for me, this always brings into awareness the concept of acceptance. By accepting what is, we make peace with our current reality, and the energy we are no longer wasting pushing against circumstances can now be harnessed into a rational and intentional action. By accepting, we align with eternal stillness, thereby accessing the most intuitive and intelligent way of acting or not acting in any given situation. When we work on accepting a situation, we can begin to view it from a more neutral perspective. We are no longer caught up in the drama of it, and our actions are not clouded by emotion. In this space, we can get curious as to what's happening within us, so we can distinguish between what is our responsibility and what is other people's stuff. By accepting what is, we moor ourselves to the eternal stillness within, which will always help us find a creative and an authentic way of thinking and behaving. At the moment of surrender, however fleeting, peace rushes in, the natural result of realigning our beliefs and expectations with reality. The mind that can surrender and simply observe the present moment is a mind at ease. Acceptance and trust are always part of the solution to life's challenges. That's certainly been my experience over the years, whether it's been dealing with my skin and bladder cancer, my father's illness and death, and now the challenges we face with the house. To paraphrase Abraham Hicks, I want to be a cooperative component in the resolution of the issues I'm dealing with. A question that I try to reach for that usually opens the door for me is, what is this situation asking of me that I'm still withholding? That's a powerful question for sure. And my answer tends to include acceptance, trust, and remembering that I'm not alone. So if you think of a situation you're currently dealing with, you know, maybe ponder that question. What is this situation asking of me that I'm still withholding? something else we can reach for when going through tough times is trying to take a wider perspective. Now, this is not strategy number one, as it requires us to witness the challenge, to step back from our lives and reflect. And that's not really feasible on day one. But as time passes, it becomes a little easier. Maybe we can get a little bit more philosophical. If you listened to my chat last week with Jack Kavanagh, and if you haven't, do check it out, because Jack shared so much about his remarkable story and how his life went from being an active 20-year-old to suffering a spinal cord injury and having only 15% muscle function. But in it, Jack spoke about asking the question, why me? And then he ended up asking, well, why not me? Certainly, when I compare my current situation with what Jack has dealt with and continues to deal with, it puts any current challenges I have into perspective. A few weeks in, and with our house in turmoil, and thankfully haven't been able to secure a short-term rental, you know, when we got through that hurdle, as it were, a few ideas did begin to percolate in my mind. Yes, we were being pushed out of our comfort zones and in ways that was not of our own choosing. But, you know, maybe the change of scene would be good for us. There's the analogy of comparing change to a forest fire. But change is always easier to accept when you're the one holding the matches. So if we're facing change, let's look to do it on our terms as much as possible. We've been dealing with loss assessors and loss adjusters, the insurance company, plumbers, cleaners, electricians, flooring people, a removal company, a property rental company. The list seems endless. But in the midst of it all, we had to remind ourselves that we're the clients. You know, let's make this work for us on our timescale as much as possible. Let's look for ways to take agency back. So we're not just reacting to events and other people's agendas. We're looking to set our own. Truth be known, myself and Brian are homebirds. We enjoy our own company and we enjoy evenings in. This move is forcing us to shake things up. There will be new areas to explore, new walks for our dog, Sadie. I won't be able to commute to the gym or my weekly yoga class, but maybe I can explore new options closer to our new home. We've been blessed to secure a place on the coast with a beautiful view, so we're thankful that we're moving in at this time of the year, when over the next few months we can take advantage of the bright days and the longer evenings. And of course, nothing prompts a more extensive spring clean than knowing you have a removal company arriving at your doorstep to transport your stuff. So we've been doing a massive tidy out and loosening our bonds with stuff that perhaps we don't really need. While some of our treasured possessions, those items that are symbols of home, are coming with us, we made the decision to live more minimally, and that certainly feels like the right thing to do for us. For me and my work with my counsellor, there's other stuff I want to leave behind, and I'm doing a good job in putting some mental baggage down so I can embark on the adventure ahead feeling a little lighter. In the midst of our big tidy up, I came across something I'd written on the topic of resilience and keeping going in tough times. I can find it amusing that, you know, I can find solace in my own words written at a different time about something else. But it was certainly timely that I came across this piece, which had found its way into my book, Words to Inspire. It was perhaps one of those universal winks to remind me that ultimately all the answers are on the inside. So here's what I wrote about resilience. When we think of a resilient person, we might think of someone with a clenched jaw, focused eyes and a straight back, determined to take whatever life throws at them. But what coping looks like is different for everyone. The mosaic of resilience includes days when we are too exhausted to get out of bed, when we feel broken and lonely. Resilience is also acknowledging our feelings and bravely opening up about our experiences. Honouring our vulnerability buffers us from guilt, shame and anxiety. It makes us less defensive and insular, allowing us to be open to the support from others. Challenges can be invitations to awake dormant potential and are therefore opportunities for accelerated growth. Sometimes they demand everything we've got. When facing an emerging crisis, our first strategy is often to try to ignore it. The knotted fear of anger will follow because we no longer feel in control of our lives. I know from experience that we cannot chase our fears away, but we can allow compassion in. This soft side of resilience breeds the resolve, the quiet dignity to find a way through. It's what enables us to shift from worry to problem solving. It also reminds us of the light that resides outside of the tunnel. Whilst habit wants things to get back to normal, resilience invites us to ponder what sort of normal we want that to be. Maybe in the not too distant future, the challenges we face today will be a memory. And when the story of a crisis is told, so often the theme is renewal. I find those words about resilience to be such a gift. It's almost like a gift I had forwarded in time to myself, as strange as that seems. In wrapping up this week, there are two more wise sayings I want to share with you. A few weeks ago, I was speaking with Kim, who runs the health food store Nature's Cures out in Skerries, and I pop in there most Saturdays when I'm out visiting my mum. I was telling her about the situation here at the house, and she gave me an adage that was really helpful. It helped me to widen my perspective, and I've been holding on to it tightly over the last few weeks. It goes, "Within every challenge are the seeds of an equal or greater opportunity." When I looked it up afterwards, it was an adaptation of a Napoleon Hill quote, "Every adversity carries with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit." And you know, I do sort of think that that's true, but perhaps it requires a degree of faith or the distance of time. But in those words, I found solace, and they were certainly an invitation for me to think differently. Let's remember too that we can always cope with our now, what we're currently facing, what's right in front of us. It's when we project into the future, when we sink into catastrophizing and worrying, that's when we struggle the most. If you think about it, what's your track record for coping with what life has thrown at you to date? Well, it's 100% because you're still here. That's a pretty impressive statistic. Now, just coping with life is not what life is about long term. But as I said earlier, there are times for thriving and there are times for surviving. So I opened this episode with that adage of when life throws you lemons, you make lemonade. Well, I don't know. But there's another version of this saying that has another line to it. So when life gives you lemons, make lemonade, and then find someone who has vodka and you have a party. So I think on that note, I'll sign off for this week. Thank you for listening this week. If you enjoyed this episode and have a moment, please rate, review and subscribe if you haven't already. And maybe you'd like to share it with a friend too. For more information about me, James Sweetman, my coaching services, workshops, books, and for more podcast episodes, be sure to visit jamessweetman.com.